Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RT.ie. Mark, good afternoon.
Hello, hello, Joe. How are you?
You were on with us nearly 3 weeks ago at this stage, and I think people will remember your whole call. But one thing that stuck with me, apart from talking about your beloved son who has muscular dystrophy, you're talking about leaving the house every day because you're a school bus driver, and you bless yourself as you leave the house and you say, please God protect me from COVID. And you were worried about the situation because school buses don't have the same loading restrictions in terms of passengers as city buses or indeed country buses do in terms of 25%. You have to carry many passengers at any given time, Mark.
Well, the maximum on my bus is a 32-seater. So that's the maximum. I would carry 32, you know.
One quarter of that under the regulations. That applies to all buses apart from school buses would be 8. But you've got to carry 32, four times that now. You were worried about COVID and, unfortunately, what has happened?
Well, unfortunately, Joe, on Tuesday, myself and Anne were diagnosed with the COVID.
Right.
And as a result of that, on Friday, or was it Thursday, if I'm not sure, Tom was diagnosed with the COVID.
Oh, God. That's what you're worried about most.
It's my worst nightmare. Anyway, you know, if you don't let me say this, I can't understand how the breath coming out of a 16, 17-year-old is different to the breath coming out of a 19, 21-year-old. Or would a CAE bus be allowed to carry 55, 16, 17-year-olds? Would they be allowed to do that? You know, if there's that amount of young lads standing at a bus stop and a CAE bus was up, would they be allowed to put them on? And I know it came from me, Joe. I had to come from me. Because the only one that used to come in because of the COVID restrictions was Mark, that's one of my sons, to give me a hand with Tom and give Anne a rest. And to lift him and, you know, put him on the toilet and all that and do everything you can for him. And he got tested and he's clear.
Right, so...
So it had to come from me, Joe.
And do you know if it was in the school and on the school run you do?
Well, I spoke to you the other day about a friend of mine whose son has the same condition as Tom, who's in the school. Mm. And I was talking to him. They do a kind of a Zoom quiz with MDI. MDI does a quiz.
Mm.
And we kind of meet up every few Fridays. And I was speaking to Fionn, or to my friend, and he told me he took his son out. And I said, why? And he says, because we've heard, they were of the understanding that there was 26 people was out with us.
Wow.
And I know for a fact that there is COVID within the school, but you're not allowed. I'm not allowed to be told. I don't think even if another parent rings up, they're allowed to be told this freedom of information. I don't think this freedom of information was meant for that, Joe. I think it was meant, you know, but not in a case like this. I mean, this is a...
Well,
we've never seen anything like this.
Well, Mark, did you notice the number of school children dropping on your bus?
Yeah, I did. I did. There was definitely... I was down maybe 6 or 7 on the secondary run.
Right.
And on the Friday gone, I was down. I bring 14 of the small kids to the school, to the, the primary school, and I was down 10.
And did you ask any of the... Well, I don't know whether you can.
Yeah, I did. I asked, where's such... Because I knew it was a big day for them because they were all telling me, will you dress up, Niall, and... for the Halloween that they were all dressing up, and I said, right. And I went and I bought a mask, and then when I looked at the mask, Joe, I couldn't wear it because I was afraid I'd frighten the life out of them. But anyway, there was 10 of them missing on the bus. And I asked them, and they were all out for, they have a different way of saying it.
Yeah.
But it was basically over the COVID.
Wow.
And I at that stage, now, Joe, I didn't think that I'd have it. But it was then, I went to do something in the kitchen on Tuesday, and I was feeling so bad.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was lie down and go to sleep, and Anne was in a bad way. And I just said, Anne, we can't go on like this. Anyway, fair play to the doctors. I rang them that evening around 3 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock I was getting a test.
Okay.
And on Wednesday, I was told about myself and Anne, because Tom can do nothing for himself now.
Right.
He can't feed himself. He can do nothing for himself. And he's 24, highly intelligent, been to college, yeah, represented Ireland all over the world in power chair soccer. Joe, we were involved with that time, yeah, when we were trying to get going. And he's been there, and he's highly intelligent. But he's an awful, awful warrior. And we were told then that he had it, and he cried, and he up and down the hall, and going to die.
Mm.
But, Joe, I have to say now, after saying all that, he is much, much better in himself. You know, I God forbid, but yeah, I was expecting him to go downhill, and that we go downhill. But I have to say this, Joe, we're not going anywhere. We're not, you know, and I have to be positive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any change in him. I don't see him going in. He had this terrible headache, which I had.
Right.
And Anne had. And he has the blocked nose and that, and he says his stomach doesn't feel great. But he's definitely holding his own, Joe.
Okay, so what happens in the household where... Who do you reckon got it for? You reckon you got
me.
It for?
Yeah, I brought it in.
I was
going
to say, who showed the symptoms first? That was you, then Anne.
No, Anne actually showed the symptoms first.
Oh, okay.
But you see, it can't
that
have been
doesn't
Anne.
Mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because Anne hasn't been outside the house. Yeah. Anne never leaves Tom's side. She has not left Tom's side since last March.
Okay.
She will not leave his side. She's the best mother I ever. I'm so lucky in that way to have a wife like that. And she would not leave us, so it can't have been her.
Yeah.
It had to be me, Joe.
But I'm saying, what's the protocol? What do Muscular Dystrophy Ireland say? Do they, when COVID comes into the home, and
I just say... I have to say, Muscular Dystrophy Ireland have been... Can I just say, Joe, I'd be lost without them, especially Linda Murray. She's the girl that is keeping us going. She has done everything in her power. They're absolutely magnificent. Without them, I think I would have been lost. But there's nothing they can do, Joe. They got us all the help we can get.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story. We were hoping against hope that maybe Tom wouldn't catch it and that we had it. And the protocol would have been that the HSE, in fairness to them, would have sent in a couple of people down here to look after Tom in the house.
Right,
while
okay.
We would be moved to the City West Hotel.
Mm.
And seemingly the City West Hotel, there's doctors and nurses there, and they put you into a room and your meals are given
to
you.
Yeah, monitoring that, yeah.
But that was only in the event that Tom was negative. But then Tom is positive. So we're looking after Tom.
Yeah.
The three of us are together.
Yeah.
And I have to say, John, I know I didn't get my prayers answered when I pray to God that not everybody gets their prayers answered. But maybe we get our prayers answered when Tom is not showing any signs of going downhill.
Yeah, goes.
You know, maybe yeah. We have, you know, as my father-in-law used to say, what you lose on the our father, you gain in the Hail Mary, indulgences, Joe. Maybe that's the way it is.
Now, we've been on to Bus Éireann, who run the school bus service, and people will be surprised to hear that what you're saying, that there's no restrictions as there is now on public transport, on school buses. The public transport restrictions 25% capacity regardless of the capacity of the vehicle. In your case, that would be 8 people. In fact, on some days before children went down, you were carrying 32, you had the full.
Yes.
Now, the Dublin Bus Bus Éireann say seating plans were pre-assigned on, in place on all routes. Children next, sitting next to siblings or classmates where possible. This reduced the interaction of children on buses and those outside of their family, class or school. Was that possible on your bus?
Joe, I can't make no sense of that at all.
Yeah.
I just kind of, all the young lads, or the young girls and young lads, they get on my bus, they all near enough sit in the same seats.
Every day, but still.
Every day.
But still.
Every day. They just get into their own seats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But still, they're close
enough, they use the hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
In fairness, and no, I don't know whether they're all keeping their masks on or not. I genuinely think that they definitely done their best. Yeah. To keep their mask.
But you have to keep your eyes on the road. It's not your job.
I can't take my eyes off the road.
I know that.
And I'd have the window beside me on the bus wide open, I'd have a mask on me, Joe.
And they say the implementation of 50% capacity has been put in place where possible over the last number of weeks and over the coming weeks. Bus Éireann will be implementing 50% capacity on a rolling basis. Well, that's the admission that's not there at the minute. Bus Éireann will be implementing a 50% capacity on a rolling basis as soon as it is possible to do so on all remaining routes. So,
well, that's good to hear that, Joe.
Yeah, but it's as is. It's not saying, that's an admission that 50% is a target on all buses, but it's by no means in situ at the moment. As the children go back to school today.
I honestly think, Joe, it all boils down to money and the cost of what it costs, you know, to run these buses. I think that's basically, because it would be so easy for me, to bring the first half of the 32. I'd be prepared, you know, you'd feel a bit safer with only 16 on it. You know what I mean, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And go and bring them the furthest away and go back, and then go back and pick the other.
Would you do that,
Oh, yeah. I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it all boils down at the end of the day, Joe, and if you don't mind me saying this, boils down to money, because you can do a second run, Joe.
Yeah.
But it's not been done. Now, in the primary school, you couldn't, because I'd only 14. But definitely in the secondary.
You could.
Now, Joe, I have to go and clean that bus every time. All the bus drivers have to go and clean the bus, clean the straps, clean the... Or, you know, and if I maybe put my hand, I wear gloves in it. But who's to know how I got it, Joe?
Well, see, Bus Éireann also say, for us to get to 50% capacity max on school buses would be a requirement for 1,600 additional vehicles, compliance with procurement and safety guidelines, including vetting of all drivers. They're basically saying it's impossible.
Unless
you do something like you're saying, I'll do two runs.
Yeah.
I'll start earlier, I'll collect the furthest children first, the students, drop
and
them,
half the bus,
and then go
the
back
bus.
Halfway and start again.
Yeah, you're only going back halfway, Joe.
Yeah, I know what you mean, And the same in the afternoon.
Yeah. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Now, I made it up, Joe. It takes me 20 minutes to get from my starting point to my finishing point, from where I start.
Because a school, I know companies try and, but I know the Bus Éireann are saying, we need 1,600 new buses. But the fact is that for most of the day, your school bus lies idle in
that's
the
right.
bus, doesn't it?
That's right.
So what's surely the way to do it is not just simply say, we've no buses, and where are we going to get 1,600 buses? Where are we going to get the drivers? Where are we going to get the Garda vetting? Where are we going to get over EU rules about procurement and tendering and GDPR and all that rubbish that's holding back so many companies? How are we going to get over all that? I know Garda vetting is really important. Safety is the key. But GDPR isn't the key, the way it's been implemented in Ireland especially. In other words, not by the state or their agents, but by people themselves using it sometimes as an excuse not to do things. But the buses are there, just use them more often.
Exactly, Joe. Exactly. But that's
the drivers are there, Garda vetted and all. Just leave them more often. Use them more often.
Exactly, Joe. That's the point I'm making. I don't know who's making the rules, Joe, but I just don't know where they're coming from.
Now, more importantly, Mark, we hope all the children in the school that you come and go, we hope they make a full recovery.
God bless the whole of them.
Yeah,
okay. Keep them all safe.
And now your family, what's happening now? You're in isolation, the three of you.
Myself, Anne and Tom are in isolation.
You're in a bubble, like.
We're in a bubble, yeah.
And how are you managing?
Well, Tom is the youngest of eight. So you can imagine all my children are around
okay.
the town. And it's funny now that my daughter, who's from, you know, living in the same town as I am, her little one is after getting the COVID in school and bringing it home to her house. Yeah. And we're talking.
Hopefully, yeah. And how's Anne? How's Anne's symptoms? She said she was symptomatic.
Yeah, she's great. She's doing a lot of coughing, Joe. A lot of coughing. I mean, she's weak enough herself. Like she's had a heart attack. And she's had three stints then put in later on than after that again, you know. Yeah. She's so worried all the time. Oh, she lives, breathes, sleeps, Tom. You know, she won't leave his side. And he, in fairness, you know, he gets a bit annoyed, and he, you know, which he can understand, and he is. So he's bad enough as he is.
And when you say he gets annoyed, it gets that you're annoyed at Anne being...
He does.
A little life herself, saying, "Mammy, you don't have to sit with me all the time. You don't have
to." But he just... If Mammy's not there, he's lost. You know, he's used to me coming in and out, and I'd lift him in and I'd lift him out. And I suppose he just doesn't get out of me. We talk football and that and the whole lot.
And how are you feeling yourself?
Yeah, I feel okay, Joe. I have to say, I do feel okay. I do, I have to say, now I have headaches and I feel a bit weak. No, I wouldn't say. I want to give other people hope as well.
Yeah, I know. You're brilliant. But Joe, Tom, I hope you're being paid sick pay, are you?
Yeah, well, I put in for the COVID there last Tuesday or Wednesday. My son done it for me. Okay. I'm not up on computers, Joe.
Well, you're entitled to that, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, we'll keep. Do you need anything? Do you need anything apart from. I know muscular dystrophy Ireland are brilliant to you.
They're brilliant. Yeah. No, I have to say, I can't say enough about Linda. And another good friend, if you don't mind me saying it, Jane Nolene, whose son also has the same. Condition as our Tom.
But you're,
she's been brilliant.
But the sting of your call is the exact same as the sting of your call pre-COVID, when the pandemic was on, still on, and you didn't have it, thankfully. But your call now that you do have it is the exact same. What has been done about school buses? Why are school buses an exception? Do students or young pupils or young people or school bus drivers don't have any extra immunity to this virus than people on public transport or whatever? So I take your point.
Yes, Joe. Okay. And we done the company I work for, done all they asked us to do. Everything. Clean the seats, clean the... Done everything. Yeah. And I had to bring it in. There's no other way could it have come into the house, Joe, because no one else was allowed into the house. Because, honestly, Joe, this is honestly, Tom would not allow anybody, even his own brothers and sisters, he doesn't want in here. He's that much afraid.
Yeah, but your worry was a muscular dystrophy being what it is. It's a,
yeah,
it
Joe,
affects the lungs, you need help breathing.
I mean, I just give you a rundown, Joe. Tom wears a face mask at night for breathing, to have him breathe all night. He gets up in the morning and I put a cough assist on him. That means that any phlegm that he has on him,
it gets it all up.
And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's really brilliant. And then he has another machine during the day that if he's playing his games, which he is now at the moment, he's now playing his games, he has a machine that he just reads across and it shoots a big breath into his lungs and it fills his lungs. Now, Joe, you would think when the COVID would come in the door, that he'd be knocked for six and that we'd be... And I have to say, Joe, thanks be to God, that he's not.
Yeah, great.
And I don't understand. And please, God,
you're great.
Maybe the hand of God at work.
Mark, you've incredible resilience. You really have. I'm listening in my head to your voice when you're on, 2.5 weeks ago, worried about this. And it was such a worry, rightly so, and you affected and had an impact in such a moving way on so many people. Now COVID has arrived into your household, unfortunately, has befallen your household, and you still have a great resilience.
I do, Joe. Where does that
come from?
It's hard life, Joe. Hard life. All the knocks and all that. It teaches you. Maybe all these hard lives were from all the sickness,
Joe. Why do you say you had a hard life? Why do you?
Oh, I was in one of them schools for 16 years, Joe. They put me in a school at 1 year old, Golden Bridge. I came out 16 years later, Joe.
16.
And I think it made me the man I am.
In what way?
Resilient.
Resilient.
You know, by...
That was your child. That was your total childhood. Till you went in as a baby and came out as a teenager.
Came out as a mad teenager.
Mad teenager.
Okay. Yeah, and cured me. Yeah. I have to say that. No, I'm saying, Joe, look, it made me hard. It made me strong, you know.
Tough in a good way, yeah.
In a good way, because okay. I so believe, and believe me, I've seen terrible things going on, Joe, with religious people, but I have such religion. I have so much belief in God. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And I never, ever, I'm what they call it, a non-judgment Christian.
Now I can hear you. You don't have to call yourself. People can hear it in your voice and your tone and your tenor and the way you deliver that message to 2.5-3 weeks gone, the way you're delivering the situation you're in today. Mark, stay as well as you can and keep in touch. If you need anything, give us a shout and we're all with you. You'll be over this one. The three of you will come through this together, the three musketeers, like you have through so much. So stay as well as you can, and I know you're, there's no need to say to you, look after each other. It's in your DNA, for God's sake.
It's in the DNA, and we'll
keep in touch if you need anything else. But as you say, your core message is the buses, school buses need to be looked at in terms of capacity.
They do, Joe.
And
God bless you, Joe. Thank you so much, Mark.
And I know it's for obvious reason we're not using your name, but we have been in touch otherwise. So, Mark, thanks indeed, and kind regards to Tom and Anne. 51551. Wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.